All right. It is 1:30. I will call us to order as we do the call back with the county attorney. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you.
And I would turn it over to you to take us through whatever. We had a brief discussion with your staff, and I'm sure most of that has been shared with you, and now we can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I did have the occasion to listen to the previous recorded session along with the previous recorded sessions from several other elected offices. I found it very interesting. One of the things that I'd like to point out to the Board of Supervisors here today is that my office, I think, has or is in a position where we could request many things, and I think rightfully so. We did not do that this year. For instance, let me point out again the distinctions or similarities between Story County and some of the other counties. I learned just a couple of weeks ago in going to Marshall County on a courtesy prosecution that Marshall County has a population of about 34,000 people, which is roughly about the third, a little bit over the third size of Story County. They now have 8 assistant county attorneys, or 8 county attorneys for that population, and their caseload is a little bit over half of what our caseload is. And looking at Woodbury County with a population a little bit larger than Story County, has a county attorney's office with 17 county attorneys, doing roughly an identical amount of cases as Story County. They do have fewer staff, however. They have 4 or 5 fewer staff, if I recall, than I do. So, in my mind, I'm sort of at a point where I need to decide about some things. I need to decide, of course, really how my office is handling cases and how busy or how difficult it is for my assistants to handle the cases versus requesting additional employees. One of the problems that has been recurrent is the fact that, in my opinion, law enforcement in the county has a real need for some consistent training. And I have not been satisfied with the various trainings that individual law enforcement agencies have been receiving in terms of the kinds of cases that I've been receiving and the kinds of information that I've been receiving as the county attorney. I've been commenting privately about my concerns with various heads of various law enforcement agencies in terms of the kinds of investigative work that's being done. And you have to keep in mind that since I started here about 24 years ago, nearly every law enforcement officer that was here when I started has retired or moved on. And this entire new generation of young law enforcement officers, in my opinion, because of the structure of the various law enforcement agencies in the county, in my opinion, need more help. How we get them that help, I don't know. That is to say, I think there's a lot of focus among law enforcement agencies in terms of doing particular types of activities, and I can certainly understand from a young person's point of view why they might be encouraged. But what I really need to see are young law enforcement officers who know how to go to various situations to be able to talk and discuss with the participants that they find there, to be able to engage them, to be able to discern or diffuse, to be good community ambassadors in many ways, to be able to know and identify situations and be able to then be attuned to acquiring the kinds of evidence that is going to support whatever particular criminal charge they may be investigating. And all of those things, in my opinion, I've been concluding that it probably will require someone from my office, an attorney, that I think I'm going to devote toward training. I always have participated in training myself, and other members of my office have participated in trainings, but those have been rather sporadic, and those have always been a matter that depends upon the availability of the particular officers in the particular departments, their schedules. They already have training scheduled. And so it's always been historically very difficult. And so, to me, I think that in the near future, I'm going to be requesting an additional staff attorney. I have someone in mind in my present staff to devote to that particular purpose, but to shift them away necessarily from handling a criminal caseload and almost devote them exclusively to working with the various law enforcement agencies, to give them a regimen of treatment a regimen of education that I think is very necessary in terms of being able to keep those law enforcement officers working on the street. That is to say, they give me better cases, better information, so that the fact that I have prosecutable cases, so that they aren't taking up their vacation time, their days off, charging the departments overtime for matters because they didn't know how to really properly gather what they needed to do so that we could present it and we could more quickly result in a disposition, a plea, rather than go through the mechanics of long and drawn out discovery and perhaps even up to the time of trial. Those things are the kinds of things that I'm interested in and I've always been interested in my office. Those are the kinds of things that I think are not only of a savings to me directly, but a savings to people in the community, because when you have to involve people these days in criminal proceedings, you have to bring them in, ask them to come from their place of employment or from their homes, devote a day or two or more days. In our society today, a lot of people, well, we all know everyone is just busier. So that type of thinking is on my mind. Now, in terms of fine recovery, I know that you received the information last time as to the tremendous job that several of my employees are doing. Now, I would like to increase that as well. I know that that has met some resistance from individual members of the board in the past. I understand that there are, at least I understand what those concerns are, but I think that we've demonstrated that there is a real source of money to the to my office and to the county. I believe we brought in, what, $260,000 or something to the general fund, if my memory serves me correctly. And I think that at the last hearing, Mr. Sanders, you wanted us to up that estimate to about $300,000 in income. Well, again, I need the facilities and people to do that. Most importantly to me, the one component of that, even though that $260,000 is probably more than any other county department is bringing in, but that's only because of a recent change in the thinking of the legislature, which in my opinion was a good one. But to me, there a part of that is about $98,000 in restitution to the people of this county, the victims of this county, which is really what I find outstanding and really what's of perhaps most importance to me. Making people responsible, making the people who perpetuate crimes and who cause people to be injured, and making them responsible for that, I think is really the ultimate goal in our criminal justice system. So all around, it's supportive. You know, I've been to how many of these budget hearings over the years? I don't believe I've ever been to a budget hearing where it started out where the supervisors have said to me, well, Mr. Holmes or Steve, how are you really getting along, and are we doing all we can to support you in your statutory duties? You know, I don't think I've ever had anybody ever say that to me. Who knows, maybe there'll be a first time. The important thing that I think for you to consider is that we're doing a job that I think puts us at a stressful level. I think the space that we have at the present time and the number of people that we have. I mean, when I have a staff meeting, I can't invite all of my employees into the staff room. They don't fit. We have to have some people standing outside, and then, of course, we engage the other office by phone. They participate by phone. Facilities, to me, are really lacking for me to do the job. And I know we went around about this a while back involving space over in Ames. But again, you don't realize, I don't think you realize how important it is to me to be under one roof and what that means. I was just having a discussion with a with a member of another department just the other day, and I won't mention names, but they were lamenting to me the fact that they couldn't come in on their employees because of the nature of the office and the way it was laid out. They couldn't get in the place to really get a quick peek at them to see what they were doing. We have a defendant right at the present time who's facing some very serious criminal charges. He's been facing these for over a year and a half. There's been a lot of proceedings involved. And this particular defendant has a delusion that he is subject to the government's latest technique of remote viewing. Now, we haven't exactly been filled in as to exactly what that is. But certainly, I'd like to be able to have remote viewing in certain instances. And I'm sure that this other member of this other department would love to have it too, just from the standpoint of oversight. But I can't emphasize it to you enough that having a bigger office and having it in multiple locations, it compounds the matter. Also, for me, having to use, and I know you've emphasized trying to use part-time employees to solve some of my problems. That's also another big problem, because part-time employees take a great amount of time to train. And by the time they're trained, they're usually gone. And what it does is it causes a great amount of extra work for Teresa, my office manager, and myself and others. And it is not as efficient as perhaps it may look on paper. It's very inefficient. Having qualified and trained employees are really important. Now, I'm in a position of losing a couple of attorneys. I'm losing a very experienced attorney, and I'm going to lose another attorney because of changes in employment, and that takes time. I'm going to be in an interview process again here starting tomorrow, and of course that's to be expected to some degree. But I think it's important to underscore the fact that for the number of attorneys and the number of staff versus the caseload that my office handles, I think that really we better statistically than the county closest in population to us and a county in the third, basically a third of the population to us. And I still was taken aback by that statistic, just finding that out just a couple of weeks back. That surprised me, genuinely.
Steve, are those counties that you mentioned full-time attorneys, or are they still doing private practice as part of their duties?
No, they're full-time.
Okay.
Now, if you'd like to pay me my salary and make me part-time so I could go into private practice, now that might
well,
be.
Well, I mean, that's always a choice. That's what the electorates deal with every 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one way to at least overcome my salary dilemma. But still, in terms of my staff, in terms of their salaries, I still think that if you look statistically at them, I am in I'm right next door to Polk County, and that's a fact of life. It's hard. It's very hard. So I understand you have some concerns and comments. I didn't quite understand from the recording exactly what they were all about.
I don't think we had any.
Actually,
concern.
The most important thing we had was we did not want to give a final stamp on what was presented without you being here and an opportunity to engage us if you saw some things that staff had perhaps maybe overlooked or it wasn't conveyed back to you clearly.
Well, I did notice one thing. Ms. Markley had placed my forfeiture income as an expense, and I know you had placed it in the budget, but not down with
fines recovery.
Fines recovery down with the forfeiture. I understand how you place forfeiture because it is a shared budget item with other offices. However, I do disagree with your placement of the fine recovery money. That's income. I know that, but I don't have to spend it.
No, you don't. But if you are going to spend it, we need to have a budget.
Right.
Well, I still disagree. It should be savings, though. It's a new category of money, and it isn't tax money.
I don't anywhere
right.
in the.
No.
Well, I think there was a comment in the hearing last time, if I remember correctly, that the fact that if I wanted to spend it, I would have to get an amendment in the budget.
Yes, the way it's currently.
Do you still think that? Why?
Because bringing the money in, it's sitting there. It rolls over. It never changes. It never goes anywhere. But if you decide to spend it, it has to be budgeted to spend it. It's part of the whole service areas. It's part of the budget.
I sort of have a different take than you do on that. I think that those monies, this is new. And actually, because it isn't tax dollars, it's not out of the general fund, and it's not tax dollars.
A budgetary account.
Well, but how you place it as an expense versus it basically as an asset? It is money in the bank. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Want to spend it, but at some point you're probably going to want to spend something from that, are you not?
Well, that's true, and as supervisors, I mean, you certainly enjoy budgetary oversight. I mean, I couldn't take that money and go out and buy myself a car,
right?
And I wouldn't. But in terms of those monies, that it's a little different.
It stays in Fund 38,000 from year to year to year. It never leaves from Fund 38,000 unless you spend it.
Yeah. But to calculate it into the line as an expense but when I haven't spent it, I think that gives the wrong impression in terms of my outward appearing budget.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
I think it's a great, really valid concern. I'll tell you, our point of view, Stephen, was we recognize that those dollars are dollars that your office brought in. It's your portion of the dollars that your office brought in. And it can be spent in any way you deem appropriate for anything.
Running the office.
Yeah. And all we want to do is we want to make sure that we acknowledge that and that we free up those dollars so that there's no statutory requirement for you to come before us to say, oh, by the way, I've decided to do this. No, that's just your decision to go. I think you're right. I think it does look bad on the bottom line, all said and done. And it's something that we talked about. We probably spent 5 or 6 minutes talking about it when they came in, and I think it took Teresa a little while to convey to me. I couldn't understand why it was jumping from 24 to 50, and then I realized it was just a swag number because that's what's available to you. But I think it's a valid concern that it does impact the way this thing
it
looks.
It appears as though it's an expense that is going to be an expense, but we don't know that it is going to be.
Don't know that it's going
to
be.
Well, but I do think we need to figure out a different way to account for it, because actually when you add it in, it gives the wrong impression. It does.
A lot of questions about accounting practices.
Would you, well, if they
I
wanted
disagree, to I disagree with you entirely.
Budget amendment, and you would have to publish that budget amendment regardless of whatever fund it is. So that's what you're just trying to alleviate that. So you're just going ahead and putting it there in case you want to spend it.
Correct.
It's a little bit different than the right. But otherwise, if you decide you want to spend it, say in January, you'll have to come before the board and ask.
But it adds in. But you're adding it into the total expense of my budget.
That's yes. Right. Right.
That's wrong.
Adding it to the
right.
total revenues of the budget.
Right.
Well, well, enough said, I guess.
No, I'd honestly like to have this figured out. What I'm not clear on is it pot? Because the recorder's got a fund similar to this.
That same situation.
Where she's bringing in dollars.
Thing. Yes.
We budget for her to spend them every year. She never spends them. She'll spend little portions of them, but it's in her budget. But it just seems to me, trying to address what I'm hearing Stephen's concern is it possible to bring those revenue line items into a different area and have the expenses associated with them there where it's not reflecting back, in this case, on the county attorney's budget?
If it's the county attorney's money, in this case, no. Same with the recorder.
Okay.
Her money.
I don't find that to be an answer, Lisa. I just don't understand your answer. Because to me, it's like savings. It's like assets.
Correct. It is.
You still have to budget to spend those.
But you still have to budget to spend it.
When I spend it.
Okay. Oh. I would say this. If we want to zero that out, just with the under... I think the board gets it, that these are dollars that are under your purview. And then if you want to... one of two things. Either you want to come before us and say, I want to spend these, this is what I want to spend it on, and we do a budget amendment, or you show us where that is not necessary under the code of Iowa to do one of those two things, then I think I'm fine with making this zero, but understanding that there's dollars there, we're just going to have to do an amendment before you can spend them.
Because we haven't paid the budget.
But I think it more accurately reflects what it is, and I think you should do it. Just because it may take more time, Lisa, or it may cost...
Not more time.
Steve, I think that we could explain that during the budgeting process if that question ever comes up. I mean, I've never heard it, and yes, it might come up, but I think listening to you now, it gives us...
It's never happened before.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it gives us an opportunity to explain if someone wants to question, how it appears in your budget.
Well, I just think it's worth mentioning, because if I didn't mention it, a person looking at the budget would not understand it. They would think it's an expense, and it's not actually an expense in the truest sense of the word.
Not until you spend it, right?
Not.
Right.
But it's freed up to be an expense if you so choose.
I understand that.
How many years have we gone without doing a budget amendment or budget amendments as a county?
I've never been privy to that situation.
Right, so we've always had them. So then it becomes a question of timing and whether we can cash flow, in this case, the county attorney's budget until such time as we can do the amendment to reflect the dollars back into the budget. As long as we don't hit the end of the fiscal year, we'd be fine. So we could do it as part of another budget amendment at any point that we're doing one.
And there again, technically, a budget amendment is spending tax dollars. Heretofore, this...
No.
Budget amendment is by I amend the budget by service area. If we are going to expend more by service area than we've budgeted, we have to amend the budget.
But those are tax dollars. Historic.
No, they come all from dollars. All sorts of places.
Well, they're all...
No, they're all dollars. We have how many budgetary and how many non-budgetary funds? The budgetary funds have to be budgeted by service area and shown actual by service area.
Well, now wait a minute.
Secondary roads funds, it can be...
Well, those are all monies that have been derived from tax dollars at some point or another. At some point or another, they are all monies that have come from tax dollars. These are different. And I'm trying to make this point as precisely as I can so that...
When I put the fund together, when you guys came to me and said, fines recovery. It's a separate fund. It's a county attorney fund. The Board of Supervisors made a resolution for that fund. The way the fund is by resolution is that it is the county attorney's fine collection fund to be spent how the county attorney wants, but it is a budgetary fund. In other words, just like jail inmate commissary, just like special law enforcement, they are budgetary funds. They are not tax dollar funds. Not a one of those is a tax dollar fund.
They're budgetary funds. Thank you. But there
in a budgetary fund, it has to be budgeted. It has to be prepared on the annual report. It has to be reported on our state reports for our GAAP reports, and it is audited by the state auditors.
Well, I'm not taking issue with how the state auditor wants funds accounted for. However,
I followed the code, and I had your office review the code section, and I had them approve the way the fund was set up.
When was that? Was that Steve Owen?
Yeah.
Well, again, certainly the Board of Supervisors has supervisory capacity over all of these monies. I'm not objecting to that. Again, and the fact that you're saying to me the way Steve Owen set this up, I have to go to the Board of Supervisors to get approval. Is that right?
I am not saying that. I am saying that we budget by service area. These dollars are in the service area that you provide law enforcement and legal and law, service area one. In that service area, we cannot exceed our budgeted expenses. So to make life easier, what I think is the handiest way to do it and the most common sense way to do it is, if you want to spend those dollars, you can't spend them unless you have them, but you also can't spend them unless they're budgeted at some point in time, whether that be at the beginning of the budget or if an amendment at some point in time.
Well, then I'd say it's structured wrong. If Steve Owen gave that advice, I was not particularly aware of it, but let's just sort of forego this for now. But from the standpoint of reviewing how that's set up, again, I'm not saying that I'm just going to willy-nilly go out and spend this how I want, and I do think that you have ultimately, as supervisory authority, you would have the ability to object, but it's different because it's not tax dollars. It is the special monies that's never been done before. So to me, it's a nice issue. But anyway, all I'm saying is,
well, I think it's worthy of a further deliberation at a different time.
We can certainly
explore other options as we look at that. But I think the discussion as it appears right now, from an administrative point of view, and from our ability to clearly identify the source of dollars, it appears to be something that, you know, we've gotten used to a little bit, and I think we can explain it if need be. Now, that's not to say that we couldn't explain it again if it was somehow accounted for in a different manner, but I think the conversation is certainly worthy of us taking a look at it in the future.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And for me, and I won't presume to speak for these two, for me, if you want to, in order to impact the bottom line of your budget, reflect that as zero right now and come back when it's time to make, as far as I know right now, we would have to amend it in for it to be spent, for you to spend over what we ultimately budget and allocate for the county attorney. If you wanted to go over that, we'd have to amend it back in. But if you want to make it zero for right now, I get Lisa's concerns, and it might be a little more complex, but I'm fine with that. I want this budget to be comfortable that it truly reflects what your office is doing. Because at the end of the day, I mean, we'll get some questions on it, but you're the one who's going to be held responsible.
Well, again, Rick, I think it's a point well taken here. Let me make a fine distinction. For instance, if we use the $24,000 this year to supplant monies that were tax monies,
right?
That is to say, let's say, for instance, we were going to make a remodeling effort, and you said, well, we'll match you. You give your 24, we'll give 24. If it was going to supplant tax dollars, I think that is an interesting issue, because that does affect the taxpayer to the extent that it's benefiting them, but nevertheless it doesn't. But let's say, for instance, I just wanted to go out and spend $24,000 for something for the office, like some system.
So you found some software program that you wanted that we didn't budget.
Some system that was above and beyond what you'd already budgeted. I think it's a different issue. It's a different matter.
And I'd be willing to have that conversation with you at any time. I mean, I'm going to want you and Jessica probably to dig into it further. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, as I understand it right now, we can make this $50,000. We can make it zero, either one. It's no real skin off my nose. We'll figure it out when the time comes. I mean, you've spent $4,700 of the $24,000 so far this year that's in that line item. It's clearly not something that you're just using willy-nilly. So
No. And it will be for something related to the office or related to law enforcement. Historically, I've spent forfeiture money. I've spent it on, things for various law enforcement agencies, giving training or buying equipment. I think one of the last things I did was I threw in for some camera equipment for a car in Huxley.
So what's your pleasure on this 50?
I'd just send it to be zero.
Make it zero.
I mean the page.
It's page 11, and it's fifth from the bottom.
Okay.
Teresa, you're just going to have to stay on top of that before you spend anything out of there. Okay? The other one was on the revenue side. We asked that it go from 200,000 budgeted to 300,000 budgeted. Let me just tell you what I heard you say here, and I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. I heard three fairly immediate concerns, and a fourth one that we need to stay aware of. And the three I heard is space. You are really having space issues. It's something we need to dig into. I heard that you want to hire a training attorney. That will be an additional staff member. It'll go through Alyssa. You'll be working with Alyssa to get that done. That will come to the board at some point in the future. I heard you say you wanted to look at additional staff for fine collection. I would assume, I've told you all the way through, for me, it's a simple bottom line calculation. I equate right now that the staff we have working, this is the first year that I've seen that they've been able to go absolute full bore on it. Everything's set. We're ready to go. And it looks to me like you're going to bring in about $300,000 this year. That's where I get the $300,000 for next year. I say that's the current staff we had. That's kind of maximum workload for them. Now you show me where adding a staff member is going to more than pay for that staff member, and it becomes a simple matter for me. So that was the third thing I heard. And then the fourth thing I heard was size of staff compared to other counties doing similar kind of work to Story County. But I had that more as an ongoing conversation that we're going to have. And I had the first three as we need to start digging into these things. We need to start figuring out your space issue. So, did I hear you accurately?
Very, very accurate.
Okay.
And I didn't ask for the moon. It's been playing this close to the chest.
Well, and you said you listened to the conversation we had. I think you heard us all several times say how much we appreciated this budget. We are really trying to look at this more from a global perspective, trying to do something that hasn't been done in Story County in as far back as we can look, and that is truly have a budget where revenues and expenditures meet each other. And Stephen, we're this close right now, and so that's where every dollar comes into trying to get that done. A general fund dollar. That's why the $50,000 in the criminal prosecution doesn't hit us one way or another.
Well, I'm sure fine recovery will more than make up for you.
Yeah, fine recovery helps. It helps. It helps get us to right here. So that's where we are. And then we asked your staff to go out and look for, we said $13,400 in savings. Now it has been brought to my attention that $13,400 was an excessive ask. So I'll come back and I'll just say, did you guys find anywhere that we could have any savings?
My reading of our present budget is $1,700 less than it was last year. How does that jive with your statistics?
Any attorney.
Yeah, when you take the 50 back out?
Yeah.
Sure, except you got to take the 24 back out before you do that. So it's actually a little more. I mean, if we're comparing apples to apples, you pull the 50 to zero, you got to pull the 24 to zero. So instead of being $1,700 better, you're $22,000 higher. But that point taken. I just want to compare it across the board. So again, I'll ask: is there anywhere in here that we can save a little bit?
Not that I can see. I'm not very good at smoke and mirrors. I think we've tightened our belt about as far as we can do it. I really can't help you. I think my staff has done a wonderful job. I think Teresa's sort of at the point of pulling her hair out, so I think you're going to have to answer to her.
Where would that leave us currently, the bottom line total? If other than the zeroing out the 50 that we had talked about.
Yeah, well, what we talked about when Stephen was not able to be here.
I got a note here saying.
Well, we talked about from vehicle fuels and maintenance down. We talked about trying to find a little bit of savings in there. Stephen's telling us now that there are no savings in there, which is disappointing. So we just got to see where we are.
I looked it over. Like I said, I listened to your previous session with Teresa and with Jessica. We've attempted to economize in as many areas of what we do as possible, and even to the point that, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, I was looking around for a code supplement and couldn't find one because somebody had asked me about a code section that had changed in March of 2012, and I didn't have it.
Because you don't buy very many books anymore.
Because we didn't buy it. Now, I don't think that that's particularly good practice, but so I don't. I really would like to help you. I don't know how I can help you.
Yeah, and like I've said, from the very beginning, it's a really good budget. It is clear that you guys are watching it closely, and I'll give Teresa as much credit as I can. I mean, clearly she is watching this really, really closely.
It's honestly been one of my main.
Absolutely, it's clear. It's clear that it has. I take a look at it and I say, okay, to this point, to the end of December, FY13, we spent 48% of the budget. Even accounting for a slight increase, it still seems to me that it's reasonable for us to ask for a couple $1,000s out of these line items. I do believe that the 13.4 that I asked for originally, I was wrong. I mean, that was an excessive ask from this. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for everybody in the county to help us get where we're trying to get. Stephen, in our lifetimes, we may never be able to have a balanced budget where in general fund dollars talking about, where we're able to line up expenses and revenue. It may never happen again. We have a chance to do it this year. But, Lisa, how close is it going to be? Yeah. Well, and we got IT to deal with where we're going to get. It is going to be razor, razor thin, down to $1,000. Auditor was just in here before you, and we ended up getting $1,000. Yeah, plus additional revenues, but $1,000 on the expense side of the ledger. And those are the kind of things we're looking for at this point. You're an elected official. You get to spend these dollars however you see fit. I really don't feel like it's my role, our role, to go through this line item by line item. But I do look at the bottom lines. And 48% halfway through the year means that there's a little bit there.
And that extra is coming from the extra help line item, which I have just recently hired more to do the fines recovery. I mean, that's the line item that I'm so low in.
You're so low in.
Low in.
Yeah,
extra help.
The extra help.
Only at 37%.
I'm only at 37%, but I just hired two more interns to start helping work fines recovery stuff.
And again, I think
that's going to go up, yeah.
The way I've figured it, approximately 1,700 less than we were last year. And so, I mean, if you say you want a couple thousand dollars, I mean, there's the couple. But, and again, I think that the increased revenues in fine recovery ought to more than make up for whatever it is that you're looking for. And again, I think I can easily demonstrate with additional employees in that department how we can make the county even more money. And I just think that the statistic that she saw last time just simply point to it. I mean, well, how much did we bring in? Or so far, a million what?
I don't even remember.
It was over a million or something. I wrote it
over
down.
I didn't write it down either.
Well, that's just phenomenal. And Latifa and Shelley, the crew over in Ames, they deserve a lot of credit as well. And I think, again, I think they sort of feel left out of this, and I try not to leave them out, but they're doing a wonderful job.
$1,950,759, something like that I wrote down. And then our portion was $261,759.81.
Yeah, that's something we've never had before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, is any other county department bringing in that kind of money?
Mm-hmm. Board of Supervisors. You raised them.
I'll pick two. Again, this is not where I like these conversations to end up. But dues and memberships, we spent $630 this year. Office equipment and furniture, we've spent $0 this year. We've got $4,500 budgeted between those two for next year. It just seems to me, it is what it is. It just seems to me that there is a little room here.
Don't come in until after the first of the year. Most of our stuff doesn't come in until after the first of the year. That's why it's always low at budget time.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, I changed. It's not dues and memberships, but I changed last year and made the attorney spend half of.
But Stephen, part of the process is that we're looking at it a little bit with a little bit of different lens when we go and look at the comparison between what you've spent in previous years and where you're at this point in the year, and then what the anticipated expenditures will be, and then we try to look at the request for increases from a budgetary standpoint, and it is a guess, but in
Memberships, I reduced by $700 last budget,
yep.
And now this budget, I brought it down another $200.
But I actually spent $2,300 in FY12.
Right, and that's why I brought it back down now to $2,500 for this budget, because I thought that's even closer.
Good.
You see, so I've already made reductions in that.
Absolutely.
By backing off a lot of those things, and I could be off by $130. That's
fine. What about office equipment and furniture? Are we
that's
in dire
need? That's the only thing that we use it for. And I tell you, I have girls, their chair is, that's what I use as far as the chairs. Last year I had to buy three or four of them, I think. And
didn't spend any last year.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was the year before. So last year we didn't even get any.
Yeah, spent $1,685 in FY11, didn't spend anything in FY12, haven't spent anything this year.
Well, and I will tell you, facilities has been pretty good about going through some of their stuff that they have put away and finding me stuff that I've needed. So I do that forfeiture.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, I've been gradually replacing attorney's furniture with forfeiture money.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been out of your budget. So, I mean.
And that's why we didn't spend that $2,000. So.
To me, that's not a great cushion, really, but.
Yeah, we're not to the point.
That's the rationale.
We're not to the point that we're looking for cushion. We're honestly, Stephen, looking for every dollar we can find. I understand it's not cushion. This is a good budget. It is it's solid. It's thrifty, and it's appreciated. But we have a job to do too. And like I say, we are so close that I really believe we can get there working together. And by working together, I mean everybody.
It's obvious, Stephen said his piece. And,
yeah.
If he thinks he's done what he can do, then... The only thing I would say is if there's something, if you come to us next year and you spend a great deal of time this afternoon talking to us about how well your office is run and comparing your office to similar size or smaller offices in the state, but I don't want people to think that we're forcing you to run a shoestring county attorney's office. So if
that's encouraging.
Well, I don't. I mean, we're the ninth largest county in the state. And I think if anything, our county attorney's office should reflect that. And I understand that it's a difference in philosophy where some offices have more attorneys and those attorneys do their own clerk work or their legal work, and your office is set up a little bit different, so you've got paralegals in your office that do that work. I mean, that's your decision to make. But I don't want people in Story County to think that we're shuffling you off in the corner and trying to make you run your office on a shoestring. I mean, if you have changes you need to make or there's things that you think you need to do differently, I'm just going to ask that you come forward and present that to us so we can deal with it.
Well, I'm going to have to, Paul.
And I fully understand your space concerns, and that's something that we're going to have to deal with, like it or not, that's just something that we're going to have to deal with.
And I certainly have done that in the context of understanding your budgetary concerns. I haven't been beaten on your door.
No, you haven't.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we probably need to move on to a next session, and we'll.
All right, let's move on.
Circle this, and I wrote down here not possible for the 13-4 that was originally there, so I didn't immediately. I hadn't deducted it anywhere before, so. Okay. Good.